I'm teaching you. That's what I like. I'm teaching you. Should be a house of praise. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to Malachi, the third chapter. Malachi 3. And I can see about half of you thinking he's going to preach on tithing this morning. But no, I'm not. Malachi 3, starting at verse 1. This is what the scripture says. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come unto his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for your word, because your word is our guide. It's a lamp to our feet, a light to our pathway. And Father, we know that as the psalmist David said, if I hide your word in my heart, Lord, we won't sin against you, but that, Lord, that you would purify us, strengthen us, cause us to walk in your ways, and lead us to your very throne room. And we thank you for that, Father. We thank you for your word. Jesus' precious name, amen. Now, the prophet Malachi, we don't hear a lot of sermons about Malachi. He's one of the minor prophets, but Malachi says that before the day of the Lord, he's going to send his messenger, right? Isn't that what it said? I will send my messenger before thee, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Now think about this a moment. Where is his temple? Huh? Where is his temple? In us, amen? His temple's going to come in us, and he's going to come to us. And in verse 2, it says that he will be like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. Now, I titled my message this morning, this is kind of the second part of Embracing the Fire, but I titled my message this morning, Let the Fire Burn. You see, we need the fire of God to burn inside of us. We need the fire of God because the fire of God becomes like a cleansing, refining fire within us. How many of you know when gold is refined, they put it under fire, or over fire, I should say. And they put it over fire, and they start melting it. And then when it gets melted into a molten state, all this junk starts coming up. They call it the chaff. And as all this junk is coming up, the refiners, they take and they scrape it off, and they throw it away. And most people don't know this, but it takes 7 times going through this process before gold is considered pure. 7 times. Kind of an interesting fact, I find, that, you know, God the, you know, the number 7 in God is the number of completion. And then he says he will be like fuller's soap. Anybody in here know what a fuller actually is? Most people don't. And so, you know, we don't even know what the word's saying there. But if we take a little time and do a little research, we'll find that the fuller in the old days was the one that took, and they took the material that they were making a garment out of, and they washed it. And they, when they washed it, they took and they basically pounded it and worked it up so that it would get all through every bit of the fiber. That's what God wants to do with us. He wants to refine us. He wants to get into every bit of our being. He wants to be into every cell, every molecule that we have, so that we would reflect Him in all that we say and do. This past week, I had a special privilege of doing a sermon just for my mother. She was in distress. She knew she was about to pass away. She didn't have any time. So the night before she passed, I had the opportunity to give her a sermon. The first thing I said, "Mom, know this, you're the only one that's ever got a sermon all for themselves." And I got to share with her, you know, what John described heaven, and one of the things that John describes heaven is that the streets are of pure gold, that they're transparent. You know, when another thing about gold, when it is liquefied, it almost looks transparent. You can almost see. And then when it solidifies, it's reflective. Who do we reflect? What's inside? Amen? And that's why God wants to be a refining fire to us. That's why He wants to be like Fuller's soap to us, so that we would reflect Him. Romans, the 12th chapter. Verse 1 says, "I beseech you, brethren." I'm begging you, brothers. That's what Paul's saying. I'm begging you, brothers, by the mercies of God. How many of you like mercies of God? I was telling Dan this morning, he said something, and I said, "Well, I don't want what I deserve. I want God's mercy. Amen? I want God's grace. Don't give me anything that I deserve, because I don't deserve anywhere near what you have for me. Amen? By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. You present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy. A living sacrifice. Holy. You hear that word, holy? How many of you remember what the definition of holy is? Hagios. Remember that word? Hagios. Sanctified, consecrated, set apart for God's exclusive use. He wants us to be cleansed, sanctified, set apart, so that He can use us, so that He can come into that temple. You're not getting excited this morning. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's the least I can do, amen? That's the least I can do is just follow God's word and be what He wants me to be. Why? And be not conformed to this world. Well, I'll tell you what, the world wants to tell the church how to be, amen? Oh, don't preach about this, don't preach about that. Oh, come on now, that's old, we don't want to hear any of that. But boy, we start preaching about holiness. We start preaching about righteousness. They don't want to hear that now. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, if that gold is never transformed, if that gold stays the same way you dig it out of the earth, guess what? It doesn't even look like gold, does it? Anybody ever seen gold in rock? Yeah, I've seen it. It might have a little speckle here and a little speckle there. It might be shiny here and shiny there. But once it's refined, once it's melted down, once all the dross is taken off the top and it's pure gold, it shines brightly. Amen? That's what God wants from us, to shine brightly. Let the world see His goodness and grace. We were never meant to hide it. Oh, I got Jesus in my heart. No, you can't have Him. You know. No. Let it shine out so that the world sees how good He is. Preach it. Talk about it. Tell people about it. So that heaven is filled with His creation. Amen? Oh, but brother, don't talk about hell. Don't talk about that. Just tell everybody they're okay. We're not okay. We need to be transformed from the things of the world into the things of God so that we don't go to hell. How many of you know that hell was never created for man? Yeah. It was created for who? The devil and his angels. Amen? It wasn't created for us. It breaks God's heart when we make the decision that we want to go there. And it's our decision. He made the way free and clear for us. He paid the price. He paid the debt. He bought it all. But if we make the decision to not follow Him, there's only two ways to go. Amen? There's only two ways to go. So just like the refiner's fire, just like the fuller's soap, changes and transforms the garment they're working on. God's Word transforms us. His Spirit transforms us. That's why we need the Spirit of God burning inside of us. Revelation, the third chapter. Oh, brother, you're going to start meddling now. Yep. I'm going to start meddling. Revelation, the third chapter. This is what God says to the church, to the angel of the church. In Revelation, he goes and he's talking about the problems that are in the church. And down in verse 20. Well, I'm sorry. It wasn't 20. Where am I at? 15. I know thy works. Thank you, brother. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. See, there's only two ways to be. I would that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. The Greek word there literally means regurgitation. It makes God sick. So He's going to throw us up if we're not cold or hot. And if we're cold, guess what? We're going to the wrong place anyway. But that wasn't their problem. See, it wasn't the problem that they were cold or hot. It goes on and it gives us the reason. They were not cold or hot. But I count, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. See, that's the problem with the world. They don't know their condition. They don't know their condition until the light of God reveals it. They don't know their condition until the fire of God begins to flow out from us and touch hearts and lives. They don't know their condition because they just don't know. You know, Adam and Eve had the best of the best. I can't even imagine being created before sin and just being dumb and ignorant of sin and not knowing and just being able to worship God unfettered. You see, that's what they lost. Satan tricked them into believing that they would be like God. But all they really did is start to understand what wickedness was. Boy, it'd be great if I didn't know what wickedness was. I'd be in heaven. Amen? But you see, that fire of God needs to burn within us. That fire of God needs to be what drives us. The book of Hebrews, 12th chapter. Verse 28. Wherefore, we received a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace thereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. I shared this scripture with you last week. We need to be consumed by the fire of God. That needs to be in every cell, every molecule of our being, so that when we're faced with temptations, there'll be no temptation. Amen? We're holy. We're acceptable to God because He's transformed us. And if we're wholly acceptable to God, then there's no more temptation to do other things of the world. He's brought us out of that. But that fire's got to burn inside of us. We can't be lukewarm. Can't say, God, I want you on Sunday morning, but, you know, Monday through Saturday's my time. Monday through Saturday, I'm just going to live how I want to be and come to church on Sunday and worship you and be okay. That's not how it works. He expects us to live for Him 24/7, every day, all day, every minute of every day. But we need that fire to burn inside of us. Jeremiah. Jeremiah, the 20th chapter. Starting at verse 7. Listen to this. This is Jeremiah. O Lord, thou hast deceived me. This is the prophet Jeremiah talking to God. God, you deceived me. You tricked me. And I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I and have prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocks me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil. because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. Anybody ever said that before? I'm done with this. I'm not going to share the gospel with anybody ever again. I'm just getting ridiculed. I'm getting mocked. They think I'm crazy. They're calling me all kinds of names. So I'm just not going to do it ever again. Oh, I'll tell you what. That's where Jeremiah was. And Jeremiah went through some things. You ought to read about it if you haven't. He was put in a dungeon, in a hole in the ground. He was going through some terrible things. But then Jeremiah says this, but, let me find it. Well, somehow my eyes are not catching it. But your word, Your word became like fire, burning in my bones. You see, when the word of God is inside of us, it should be a fire that burns. It should be a fire that when we run across someone who doesn't know Jesus, that we literally burn inside and we want to tell them, we want to give them the joy that we feel. Amen? We want to see them purified. We want to see them cleansed and set free by the blood of Jesus. And if that fire isn't in our bones, we got a problem. And I'm not ashamed to say that. We got a problem. Because we're in the same place as the church of Revelation. We're in the same place because we're not burning with the fire of God. So, we're not hot. We're not cold. Oh, you don't understand, Pastor. I come to church every Sunday. I pay my tithes. I give. That's not what we need. It is what we need, but it's not what we need. Does that make sense to anybody? We need that fire of God burning inside of us so that just like the prophet Jeremiah, when we don't speak, it becomes like a fire that burns, and we've just got to share the word of God. I don't know how many times in my working life in the secular world that I was told, you can't preach. You can't tell people about Jesus here. And every single time I looked at him, I say, you can't stop me. I was working for Butte County in their behavioral health place. You know, it's where people come to get help when they're having issues. And, you know, a lot of drug addicts, a lot of this. And I was their security. And I'm working with a whole bunch of secular counselors. And I'm on camera. And the camera's watching everything that I do, and they can hear everything I do. And when someone would come in and they were in distress, the first thing I said, can I talk to you like a pastor? And I don't know how many times, Mark, don't do that. And only one time, in the entire time I was there, only one time did someone ever say no. Why? Because they were in distress. They wanted help. They were looking for help. The problem is the secular counselors couldn't give them the help that they needed. And after I'd been there, I don't know, a year and a half or so, I had one of the worst secular counselors, the one that was just really against me sharing anything with them, come to me, and she's just kind of scratching her head. She says, keep on doing what you're doing. Because when they get back to me, their stress level's gone way down. And it was like, You know, I don't agree with you and I don't think you should do it, but please do it. And it's the same way the world is with us. They don't want to hear the gospel, but they want to hear the gospel. Amen? They don't want to hear religion. They want to hear the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ came and died to set you free. Anyone say amen this morning? Oh, that gets me excited. Jeremiah. He says, it's become like fire in my bones because I see where the world is going. I see the judgment that's been brought against Jerusalem and Israel. I see it and I don't like it. And so even though I've decided that because they're against me, I can no longer be quiet. We can't be quiet. You know why? Because when we're quiet, someone else loses out. Someone who needs to be set free from a bondage of drugs or alcohol or sexual addiction or whatever they're at. They need to be set free. And we're the ones that have the answer. Remember last week how I talked about when it wasn't until the Hebrew children, Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, were in bonds, and it wasn't until they faced the fire and walked into the fire and embraced the fire that those bonds came off. When our world is introduced to the fire that is in our bones, to the Word of God that's burning within us, to the Word of God that sets them free, to the good news that breaks those chains. You know, we used to sing a song in the little chorus in the church probably 30 years ago. That, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let all of God's children praise the Lord. Shake off those heavy bands. Lift up those holy hands. Let all of God's children praise the Lord. Anybody know that song? I know a couple do. Amen? But see, the church today is almost content with being left in bondage. I don't understand it. You can get crowds of thousands and thousands and thousands, tens of thousands, sometimes hundreds of thousands, if you just don't preach anything hard. If you just don't preach against sin. There's a very well-known pastor, and I'm not going to say his name, who was once asked about growing his church so large. And his answer floored me. And I almost wanted to call him up on the phone and tell him where he was going because of this. He says, I never preach anything that is going to make anyone feel bad about themselves. And I'm thinking, you mean if I'm in sin, I can go to your church and I can feel good when I walk out? That's not the gospel. Jesus doesn't leave me in my sin. He sets me free from my sin. Plain and simple. The 18th century revivalist John Wesley, he said this. He says, I set myself on fire. I set myself on fire, and the people come to watch me burn. You see, the world wants to see you burn. They won't admit it, but they want to see you burn. They want to see that fire of God inside you. I was reading something the other day about some of the revivals that are going on at the campuses, and one of the comments that one of the guys was making is the young people today don't want to see what's going on in church. They want to see what's going on in your life. They want real faith. They want a reality check. They don't care what we are in church. They want to know what we are when we're out there. They want to know how we live out there. They want to know that we believe what we say we believe. They want to know that when I tell them that they can be set free, that I'm walking in that freedom. They want to know when I tell them they can become a child of the King, that I'm a child of the King, and I'm no longer in those chains. Amen? I don't remember the artist's name, but he used to sing a song, and I don't know, this is probably 40 years ago. And I know we've heard it in different ways, different times, but the words to the song were, "Your life is the only Bible some people are going to read. Even when you're not aware, you're always planting seeds." And that is so true. That is so true. But you see, if that fire's not burning inside us, how are they going to experience it? Acts, second chapter. This is the same problem that the disciples had. They were acquainted with Jesus, but they didn't know Jesus deep inside. They were expecting a Messiah that was going to come and overthrow the Roman Empire. They didn't understand. And in Acts 2, verse 1, I know we've talked about this before, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now notice the progression here. They were all in one accord in one place. They were all meeting together and they were all in agreement. Paul talks a lot about that when he's talking to the churches, having schisms in the body, having people that don't believe. He says, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." There's a big push in the religious world today to do away with tongues, to do away with the Holy Spirit, to have that religious spirit instead of the Holy Spirit. But that was already their problem. They had the religious spirit. They knew the words. They knew the actions. They could quote you the Torah. They could tell you all the laws that they were supposed to fulfill, and they just didn't get it because religion never sets you free. It takes the Spirit of God. It takes the saving grace of Jesus to set us free. Amen? And when that becomes burning within us, like it did with the disciples, the same disciple, good old Peter, anybody identify with Peter? I know I identify with Peter. I just jump off with both feet before I look how far I got to jump. You know, I do that a lot. That's just me. I jump in there. Peter was always jumping in there. Said, "Jesus, I'll follow you all the way to the cross." He even grabbed a sword and he cut off the ear of one of the servants of the Pharisees and Sadducees that were coming to arrest him. Why? Think about this. He was in the presence of Jesus. The Holy Spirit was all around him, just not inside him. And when he was in the presence of Jesus, he was just bold and strong. Then they led Jesus away. And Peter was no longer in Jesus' presence. Peter was on his own. Did you hear that? Peter was on his own. He's sitting there by the fire. And I don't know if he could hear what was going on in the chambers where they were mocking Jesus and trying and doing all this stuff. I don't know if they could overhear some of it, but some people came up and said, "Wait a minute, aren't you one of those guys? Weren't you with Jesus?" "Oh, no. This is the same guy that just a couple hours before says, I'll go to the cross with you." But when he's out of the presence of Jesus, the power of the Spirit was no longer there because it wasn't inside of him. That fire hadn't started burning yet. That's why Jesus said, "When I go, I'm going to send you a promise of the Comforter. I'm going to send you the promise of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send you that fire that'll burn in your soul so that you can stand, not on your own anymore, but with me." You see, he doesn't let us stand on our own. He stands with us. I'm going to go back to Romans, the 12th chapter. We're going to reread this. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren," I am begging you, people, "by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not transformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Who are you proving it to? First, me. I'm proving it to myself. And secondly, everyone that meets me. Everyone that talks to me, everyone that watches me, everyone I come in contact with, they will know that they've been in the presence of the Holy Spirit because they're in my presence. And where I go, the Holy Spirit goes. Somebody ought to be shouting about now. We change the atmosphere because we bring the power of God into every situation. It cannot stay the same. There's not one person you can read about in Scripture that ever met Jesus that stayed the same. They either gladly started following him or they walked away. There was no in-between. Still today, there's no in-between. So I beseech you, brothers, I'm begging you, sisters, let the fire of God begin to burn inside you. Let it become so powerful within you that you cannot stop speaking about the goodness of God. It's that important. It's that important to your person, but it's also that important to those who are on the outside. They're on the outside looking in, and they're wanting it. They're wanting it. I don't even know who the artist is because I don't listen to country western music. If you do, I'm not condemning you. I'm just saying I don't do it. I don't listen to rock and roll. If it's not faith-based, I don't listen to it. Period. Work out your own salvation. Amen? There was a country song years ago, and talking about looking for love in all the wrong places. Anybody ever hear that song? Yeah, most of us have. Looking for love in all the wrong places. There's only one place to find love, and that is in Jesus Christ. There's only one place to be set free from all those things that seem to be drawing us, and that's in Jesus Christ. There's only one place to get our feet cleansed from the mire of the sin we're in and set up on that solid rock, and that's in Jesus. Let that fire burn. Let that fire burn. Let that fire burn. We could have the prayer team come forward. If you're here this morning or watching on the end.